Today is a great day to be alive, isn't it?
Amen.
If it were not for the Lord and His great work on the cross, there wouldn't be a one of us here today. Because we know that our government, they can't lead us in the right way. They have no expression of what God wants us to be like. If we win the world, we have to be right with God. And we know, according to the scriptures, the Bible says, whosoever will may come. But we don't see very many of those whosoever come to Christ. We do live in a volatile world. And I've come to realize more and more, I think the older we get, the better we understand some things about life. How that God has provided for us a life that the world doesn't know anything about. I read a lot of history. I like to know what went on in the world back 4,000 years ago, 6,000 years ago, and compare it with not only my life, but the world that we live in. And the world hasn't offered anything good since the day that Adam sinned. It's hard to understand why so many people today that they depend on the government. You know anybody like that? We all do. And it's surprising to me that there's an age group today that's committing suicide more than ever, because they don't have God's teaching. They don't understand what it is to be a Christian and to have hope. If there is no hope, there is no life. It's only biological life, physical life. Physical life is up and down. One day you feel good, the next day you don't. So life really doesn't have anything to offer. But God says, I have placed you on the earth to give you ample time to find me. And I realized that, I know, I've worked all my life. I grew up working on a little old farm. So I know what it is to work. But I realized that longevity was not what was important. People rush to the doctor and the hospitals today, and if you're sick, that's the place to go. First of all, pray to God. But everybody seemed to want to live forever. And yet they haven't come to grips to understand that we can't. James talked about how life's short, how short it is. On one occasion, someone asked Billy Graham and said, what are some of the surprises in your life? He said, how short life is. I'm already in the sunset of life. It won't be long that I'll have to stand before God and give an account of what I've done in life. And that's for sure. Now you notice I didn't say, and not only me, but all of you and all of the world, Jesus died for our sins. So the issue is not sin today. A lot of people place too much emphasis on sin. You go witness to a person and you say, you've got to stop sinning before you can be saved. Or someone prays, Father, I pray that you forgive me. That's not in the Scriptures. Old Testament, yes, but not in the New Testament. God has provided for us that we don't have to live in sin. Yes, occasionally we do commit a sin in our life. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and all unrighteousness. I mean, God has made it easy for us. He wants us to have a good life. The word confess means to speak the same thing. If God said that lying is a sin, God, I've sinned today. So, you confess your sins and you're forgiven. You're back in fellowship. You're on your way to serving God. And the wonderful thing about that word confess, there is no connotation of being sorry. I've been in the church a long time. I was saved in the old church, 12 years old. And I've seen all kind of things and heard people really say and speak things that's not in the Bible. So, if I go to witness to someone, I don't say, you need to repent. No, you need to confess your sins. You're back in fellowship with God. That's all it takes. That's all you have to do. We sin, but the Bible says we don't have to stay in sin. We don't have to live our life in sin. All we've got to do is confess our sins. To me, that's great. I look back over my life and God realize who I was, where I was born, my environment, church attendance, what I've learned in the church. But we got to realize that God has made it possible for us to live without sin. Not to live that we won't sin occasionally, but we don't have to live in sin. 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:8 says, if you say that you haven't sinned, you make God a liar. So it's important for us to understand what the Bible teaches. Because the world, the religious world, the Christian world, is certainly confused about so many things. Why do we have Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterians, all of those denominations? The Bible says we're one in Christ. Is that right? We're one in Christ. So we shouldn't have all them. And sometimes I go by and look at the name of a church. I went here some years ago, and the name of it was Hog Swamp Baptist Church. No way in the world I would agree for my church to be Hog Swamp. But you know, there's 12 times, at least 12 times in the Bible, where they refer to the church, and they always say the church of God. Mount Pisgah don't have anything to do with it. It's God. It's His church. You belong to Him. We belong to Him. Turn your Bibles, if you will, in Matthew chapter 6. And we'll start reading at verse 25. Our emphasis today will be on 6:33. That will be mainly what I'll be sharing with you today. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, and yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? That hits us right in the face, doesn't it? Really, it does. Take no thought. Yes, you got to have a lot of faith. No question about that. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into the barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit into his stature? And why take ye thoughts for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, for they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or whether shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. How important is it for us to maintain our spiritual life? I'm hoping all of you understand what I'm getting ready to say, that as Christians, we are described in the New Testament that we're spiritual. That we're spiritual people. And also the Bible says in the New Testament that when a Christian sins, he is described as carnal. Now there is spirituality, there is carnality, and there is no in between. As a Christian, if you're spiritual, you're spiritual 100%. If you're carnal, you're carnal 100%. There's no in between. There is no way you can be a little bit good or a little bit bad. You're always good or you're always bad. It depends on your spiritual life. A lot of people, sometimes they know they sin and they keep it. They don't say much about it, but they don't confess their sins, but they think they're all right. If you're in sin, If a believer is in sin, that believer is carnal, which means you're out of fellowship with God. You can pray all you want to, but God doesn't hear. He doesn't listen. We've got to realize as believers that is our responsibility to maintain our spiritual life. And from Genesis to Revelation teaches us how we can do that. God hasn't left us without the truth. Nowhere else you can find the truth. But right here in God's Word we can. Today's message is primarily talking about seeking the kingdom of God. In 6:33. So I could ask you a question. Are you seeking the kingdom of God more than anything else in your life? I realize we all have to work. We have to provide for our family and all that. But still, as you will hear what I have to say today, you realize with all the busy world and everything we have to do, that you realize that we have to maintain our spiritual life. Whatever it takes, whatever scripture in the Bible that teaches us how we can overcome things. Because God has provided in the devil's world that we can live in peace and joy and happiness and hope. This church, no church should ever become to be No Hope Baptist Church number two. If that ever happens, the church will begin to decline. So we realize that God has given us so much. Give us the power of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, fellowship with one another. God has provided everything that we need. So Matthew 6:25 talks about the natural realm, which is food, drink, and clothing. In verse 31, Jesus said, "Take no thought what we eat or drink." Now, that takes a lot of faith, doesn't it? That takes a lot of faith. I know what it's like when I was going to school. I'd go in and I was having to leave to go back Sunday afternoon, and I'd say to my wife, "Do we have any money?" She said, "Yeah." I opened the mailbox, and there was a check in there. We got money. No income. Only what people was willing to give us while I was in school. And I talked to all so many of them up there in school, and they were in the same situation. Didn't have nothing. But I needed something, and God gave me that, and I went off to school. In verse 32, Jesus said, "All these things do the Gentiles seek." After looking at these verses, one thing is clear. The Christian is not to seek after things. Work, provide for yourself and your family. But the word seek, we're going to clear that up. The word seek means that you're out there, not supposed to go after things with a cost of your spiritual life. Now you got to have a great spiritual attitude in order to do that. I'm not working necessarily for myself and my family, but I'm working and that God is pleased what I'm doing and what I'm thinking. So it's important for us to understand that. We as Christians are to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto us. Now you got to have a lot of faith. You're out there working and you're doing what God wants you to do, and you never know what He's going to call on you to do. You make $1,000 a week, and God may say, hey, I need 500 of that. Oh. So when you're sensitive to God, you can hear Him, and you can see what He's doing. It amazes me to see what God's doing in the world, but if your mind is occupied with other things, you'll never see what God's doing in the world. We'll not understand Him. We seek righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. And we all realize it takes a lot of faith to live that way. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Now, what is the word first? This is the word first means that I want to do what I want to do first. But a Christian is not supposed to think that way. We've always got to think the way God thinks. We've got to have divine viewpoint in our life to understand God, to understand what He wants us to do in our life. I like to preach on the plan of God, and the first thing in the plan of God, it says that we must know the plan of God and our place in that plan. If you don't know the plan of God, you don't know how to worship. If we don't have the Bible in our hearts and our lives to the point that when we worship the way God wants us to, we realize that we ought to worship in His way, not ours. When you study chapter 6 in Corinthians, where it talks about the old man or the old sin nature, it has two ways that has to do with a man's life. The old sin nature, when you were born, you had the old sin nature, the nature of the sin. But the old sin nature, number one, it has an excellent way of doing certain things. It has those two trends. The second one is that it controls us. I don't know why. I don't know why when we were saved that God did not take the old sin nature out of our life, but He didn't do it. So we have a nature of the sin in our life. Somewhere hidden back in our soul. We look on television and say, how can those people do that? Because they've got an old sin nature. They're not saved, and they don't have no provisions from God. They have no way to understand what life should be like. They don't understand that. The word seek means to covet earnestly, to strive after, to seek diligently. Now I ask you, Are you doing that? I had to deal with this before. Now you're going to have to deal with it. Are you seeking God earnestly? I believe that if every one of us would seek God diligently, earnestly, fervently, we wouldn't be in here today. We'd be in a larger building. Because the Bible says when it's right, when the preaching is right and the people is right, the Bible says that there was 3,000 souls saved at one time. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is the rule of God over His people. If God is not ruling us by the Holy Spirit that He gave us when we were saved, even though we don't look like it and act like it sometimes, but the devil is the one controlling us through the old sin nature. I know it's hard to believe the statement that I say, but I read a lot of books and a lot of great preachers say that a Christian out of fellowship with God, not living right with God, can do the same thing an unbeliever can do. That's one thing hurts, you know, when you step out of line. I had a cousin. We were good friends, always thought so much of him. But if I stepped out of line a little bit, I'll tell you what, he'd let me know about it. He wouldn't let me borrow nothing. But it's good for us to realize how we live our life. You take your life and you take any book of the Bible and you compare your life with what you read and you will find out just how close you are to God. That's the way it works. So the kingdom of God, it is the lordship of Jesus Christ reigning over my life and yours, and He can't reign over my life or yours. Or your life, unless we take the Word of God and use it the way it should be used, like the word confession. I have a number of books, and in the front page, every time you turn over to the front page, it says, use 1 John 1:9, confess your sins before you start reading, because if you're in sin, you can't understand what you read. It's only words. It can't help you in your experience. We need something to help us in our experience. When we live day by day, wherever we do, we're going to meet the devil. If you don't meet the devil, it means he's walking along beside you. But if you meet the devil, that's a different thing. How do we seek the kingdom? Of course, we seek the King. Jesus is the King and the kingdom. He's both. He's everything. In the Old Testament, it talks about the sins of the Israelites. It talks about all these other people there. But the primary thing that you find in the Old Testament is Jesus. The same thing you find in the New. The Bible hasn't changed from the sin of Adam until today. God hasn't changed. Most of all, we should learn how to really worship God, to seek the Lord Jesus Christ. We covet earnestly His rule, His lordship over us. What we enjoy in life is the knowing that God is leading me today. God is going to lead me tomorrow. And without that, there is not much hope. What does the scripture mean? The word means the word first. Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." If God considers something first, shouldn't we as Christians consider it first? Certainly we should. If Jesus said, "First, seek ye the kingdom of God," then that should be something that we make sure that we do. This is not Hammurabi teaching, but this is Christ. He's saying to us to seek the kingdom of God, seek me first in all things. This should be our first priority. The word first means it should be our first priority. It should come before anything else. Before anything else. Why? Because we're all going to die. And we're all going to be judged by a God that knows everything about us. What we've done in life. What we haven't done in life. The books is going to be open and we're going to be judged. Which means that we will each one receive our rewards. No matter if you're saved. No matter how you live, you're going to heaven. You can't lose your salvation. There's no way. But when you stand before God for those rewards, He may hand you a little cup filled with water. But someone like Billy Graham and someone who has preached the Word of God and like us who have lived for Christ all of our life, He's going to hand us a big container of rewards. Didn't He say, because you've been faithful over little things, I'm going to make you ruler over many cities? But if God says to me, "I'm going to let you be the janitor, you're going to be cleaning up." And I'll use this as an example. You say, "Well, how am I going to feel?" Well, I guarantee you, when you get to heaven, no matter what your rewards are, you're going to be happy. We got that promise. You're going to be happy. So it must come before anything else. Jesus said, don't spend your life seeking food and clothing. In Romans 14:17, we read these words, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." If there's any time in your life, we say in the present now that sometimes you feel a little depressed, you're not happy, you know, you just feel bad. We know there's something wrong with your spiritual life. Because seeking the kingdom of God first, God guarantees you, even though you don't have anything, that you're going to have peace and joy. Go back in in the Bible and read the old prophets. Read those that wrote our New Testament under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. They didn't have nothing. They didn't have just enough to eat. Just enough to eat. They lived down here, say, 60, 80 years, but they're going to live with God throughout eternity. There's a world of difference. Life down here is important, but always remember that God should be first. Seeking His kingdom should be first. So, this life, seeking the kingdom of God, it has nothing to do with the natural realm. Where there is righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit, there is the kingdom of God. You can always tell. Now, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with a quiet Christian. They just some people, we're all different. I remember in the old church, preacher would be up preaching, and it was three women there every service. They would get up and they would shout and praise God. Everybody would just sit back and enjoy it. So when we buy a new car, you know, we feel good about ourselves, you know, but we don't have the peace of God when we buy a car, a new car. We have the peace of God when our hearts are so motivated, wanting to know God more and more in our life. Jesus said, how can you tell if Christians are seeking the kingdom of God? You can look and see. You can know by their fruits what they produce. Where there is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, there is the kingdom of God. Not just a building with people in it. So wherever you find those people worshiping that way, are we to seek things which are passing away? I like the way the Song of Solomon puts it. I run after it. I'm so eager, I run after it. Glad you got a clock there in the back. How do we first seek the kingdom of God? We seek Jesus, the King, Lord Jesus Christ above all else. But there is a second priority to seek His righteousness. Righteousness is being right or just. It is living within a fixed standard of that God has set up, the way that God has set up for us to live. A Christian should not live any other way. But we've got to live the way God has set things for us to understand and for us to live in order to be happy. We all love to be happy. Anything less than conforming to God's will and way is sin. I know I've been studying and reading the Bible about all my life. And so there's just so much I long for. When I was in school in Southeastern, there were some things that I heard in my lifetime, some things I heard there at school that I did not understand. I never heard of it before. I never heard it being preached before. So I stayed in the library until about 11 o'clock every night trying to find those answers. Because if you don't have the right answers, there's no way you can preach the Bible. There's no way you can preach God to a lost and a dying world. No way. You got to have those answers. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. This is the picture of a man who is starving for food, who is so thirsty that if he doesn't find food and water immediately, he's going to die. I know it's hard for we Americans to understand that verse because we've always had plenty of food to eat. We don't know really what it is to be starving. We work sometimes and say, well, I'm thirsty. Drink a little bit of water. But we don't understand this verse altogether because we've never had to experience that. But in our Christian life, that we and His purpose in life so much that we feel like we're starving to death. And if we don't find the Word of God for our heart, we're going to be miserable. We want it more than anything in life. More than anything in life. Do we seek His righteousness above all else? Wherever you find God's people with a thirst of a dying man for goodness and holiness, there is the kingdom of God. When I was in school, I was taught. You hear the preacher preach and you don't understand what he said, go up and ask him. Because you want to know. You don't know, but you want to know. And as long as your heart yearns to understand God and His purpose in life for me, then, as some writers say, that those Christians are going to be a mediocre Christian. They're not going to do a lot for God. And the Bible teaches that the emphasis for every believer is not that of doing, but that of being. That of being what God wants us to be. And don't worry about the doing, because if you're right with God and you're seeking God in every way in your life and you have a great thirst for it, all these other things will be added to you. All of them. I'm about through. Matthew 5:20, for I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of God. To whom does the kingdom of God belong? To the meek and lowly, in which the leader of the church and the fellowship of the church, the members of the church, who are willing to be last of all, servants of all. Does that always happen in churches? I don't know. There's some people, There's some people that knows how to get everybody focused to Him. You find that in the Bible. It's not nothing new. But if I was to say to a Christian who is right with God, who is spiritual and not carnal, I would say to him, you know, with your ability and your intellect, you know, you should be moved up. And that person should say, no, you got it all wrong. I don't use my ability and my intellect, but I live by the Word of God. I heard not too long ago a nominating committee was formed, and one of them said, she's a Sunday school teacher. He's a Sunday school teacher. Boy, that would be great. And the Bible says to lay hands suddenly on no man, that you want to realize and know that that teacher is qualified to preach and teach spiritual things. They know English and math and all those things, but what do they know about God? I've always been sad about that, growing up in churches and being pastor of churches. When they would nominate someone they knew could not do what they were asking to do. But yet they do it. Maybe through friendship. He ties more money than anybody else. Whatever the reason may be, that we should always realize that that person knows God and the forgiveness of his sins. We don't qualify these people, but God does. Well, I'm through. I didn't finish all I had to say, but I think I've said enough. If you don't get it today, you can't get it tomorrow. I love this church. I was saved in this church. I was 12 years old. The old church, that was my home church. This is still my home church. I look around and yes, I know a few people in here, but a lot of people in here I don't know. I'm glad to see all of you here. And the Bible says to, when you see things, you hear things, to use that for an opportunity to tell someone about Christ. I was down to a garage the other day, and I don't know why the discussion came up, but this the owner of the business said, you know, those people in the church, I'm just as good as they are. And there was another older man there. That was a good opportunity. I got both of them at the same time. I said, I can tell you some things about the Bible you don't know by what you said. You're ignorant of the Bible. You don't understand what God has done, what He's doing, and what He's going to do. Thank you.
Four 39. Let's stand in.